July 1996, you know, some of you know my testimony. I'm not going to share it today. July 1996, is July 18th, 1996, I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I was in a situation, in an environment to where people were worshiping God. And I wasn't a God worshiper. I wasn't a believer in Jesus Christ at that time. And it just overwhelmed me. God overwhelmed me. And I can remember making it to the door, and someone said, the pastor was there, and he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I don't know. I can't do this." And he said, "You're right, but let me tell you about someone who can. His name is Jesus." And I came to Christ that night and spent a few hours weeping in the arms of my wife and discerning where God was leading. And almost instantly, I knew God was leading me to full-time ministry. It was really weird. I had been a farmer, and I'd been a logger, I'd been a mechanic, I had been, at the time I was an electrician and a plumber, and I was crawling under houses, that's what I was doing. That's what I was doing. I'd sold some insurance for a while, I worked in a hospital for a while. I mean, Cheryl calls it running from God career. I had 19 different jobs, and never collected unemployment in my life. I went from one job to another, to another, to another, to another. Always seeking something, and I found him that night. Well, by January of the next year, 1997, we had moved to Lancaster so I could go to Lancaster Bible College. And so we started in Lancaster Bible College, and I finished in May of 2000, I finished in Lancaster Bible College. I preached my very first message in June of 2000. I did not take a pastoral track. I have a bachelor in Bible and a minor in education or a minor in youth ministry. I never took any preaching classes, but God saw fit. And somebody said, "I think God's got a men's group. I think God's got a sense of humor." I do too, because he's run me all the way through. And I got a bachelor in Bible. I got a minor in education. Then he puts me in the pastoral role. And I never took any of those pastor courses. I never learned how to be a pastor. I learned how to be an educator. I learned how to be someone who understood the Word of God and someone, the hermeneutics and the sociology and those things that marry together. They're very, very interesting to me. But God saw fit to put me in the pastorate role, and he hasn't taken me out of it yet. So that has been 20 years. I preached the first message in June of 2000. In June of 2000, I preached my very first message. And then I didn't preach again until September, because I didn't think I'd ever want to preach again. I was like, "I'm never doing that again. I'm telling you right now, I'm never doing that again. I'm never preaching again." And Cheryl, in her wisdom and godliness, she said, "I think you will." And I said, "Shut up," you know, type of deal. So in Jesus' name, of course. You know, I was being nice about it. So she knew that I was on my way to being a pastor and to being a preacher, if you will. Somebody would say, "What do you want to be called if you go into a special service or something?" I said, "I always want to just be the speaker. Call me the speaker." And they said, "What do you want to be called, the speaker?" Because the speaker doesn't generate any sound in and of itself. It just generates the sound from somewhere else and makes it known. So I'd like to be called the speaker, because I'm just the guy sitting in the corner that just produces the sound that's being generated somewhere else. Well, I keep track of all the messages that I've ever preached. I'm fairly organized in some portions of my life. Don't look at my garage now, you might argue with me. Okay? But in some portions of my life, I'm very organized, and I have a list of every message I ever preached, where I preached it, and what passage I preached on. And over the years now, I've just between 1,100 and 1,200 times that I've preached. And I find myself in categorizing and then looking back over this. It's usually in one of three categories that I have preached the message. They fit into one of three categories. So the first category of the thought of the message, or the motivation of the message, whatever I want to call it there, is I call it gas pedal messages. I have gas pedal messages. Gas pedal is get your foot off the brake. You know where the gas pedal is. Get off the brake. Start driving. Do what you know God is calling you to do. Enough coasting. It's not enough just to get your foot off the brake and just say, "Well, I don't got my foot on the brake." I know, but you don't have it on the gas pedal either. And put your foot on the gas. Move ahead, move forward. And maybe last week's message was a gas pedal message. Here's the Advent wreath. This is a perfect image of being able to share Christ with somebody during the Christmas season. Come on, we know the Advent wreath. Come on! Let's go, let's do it, let's get out there. We're the light of the world, we're the church. That's the gas pedal messages. And I have a series of some of those over the years, some of those 1,100 or 1,200 times that I preach, that's a gas pedal message. And then I have this category of message, and this is, I didn't categorize these on purpose, they just kind of come up. I call it the orienteering messages. And orienteering is when you read a map and try to find new locations and try to read with a compass and try to find your way in through some uncharted territory, cross-country navigation, unfamiliar terrain. Using this method in unfamiliar terrain. And then there's messages like that, right? This is kind of new information for me. I don't know what to do with it. Well, here's the tools, and here's a partner with this, and apply this scripture, and do this, and you can navigate this. Come on, you can navigate this. I know it's new ground. Some of you are on very new ground now, and it's an orienteering type of message, right? It's this, here's the tools. Here's how to read a compass. Here's a map. Go ahead. Do it. Walk that way. And then I find myself in a third category of message. I call them vitamin D. It's a vitamin D message. And vitamin D, and I have done a little research on this week, vitamin D deficiency, there's deficiencies in vitamin D, right? And all of a sudden, we start to get this situation going on in our life. And we have a weakened immune system when we're vitamin D deficient. And we have this fatigue or this tiredness that comes over us. And we don't know why at times. And that's because we're lacking vitamin D. And then our bones and our muscles are the weakness that are in that. And depression and even impaired wound healing can happen with a lack of vitamin D. And so I found that very interesting this week as I was studying vitamin D. And saying, well, what does that do? And you can get these lights. This is very interesting to me. You can get these lights, and you turn them on. And this is called a mood enhancing, mood and energy enhancing light. It's a mood-enhancing, you know, energy light. And so I'll tell you, just to be honest, I sat in this thing as I was studying all week. I turned this thing on beside me, and I just had it on all week. It's a wonder I'm not like burnt on this side of my face. But this is a mood-enhancing. Look what it says. Look what it promises down there. It says, safe. This is right off the box. I'm telling you, this is right off this box right here. This is what it's saying on this box, that this light will do for you. It says this is safely and effectively helps relieve winter blues and jet lag and irregular sleeping patterns and shift work adjustment. See, we get vitamin D from the sunlight, right? And when there's a lack of sunlight, we get vitamin D. You can eat salmon and drink a glass of milk too. And that'll help you. Or you can take some sort of pill or whatever. But really the sunlight is where we can get a major portion of our vitamin D. And this light is supposed to help with that. And it's supposed to shine on you and boost your energy. Look what it says. The bright light therapy boosts energy, improves sleep, maintains wellness. Sign me up, baby. And I like it has a Spanish part of this too, and this is the Spanish. We'd have to ask Basie if I'm right on this, but this is the Spanish on this side here, right? And it translates humor and energy light to improve. I like that. Because when I say mood, it can put you in a mood. Well, I've been put in a mood before that wasn't too pleasant. Right? He's in a mood. It's never like, oh, if dad's in a mood or mom's in a mood, it's using that, oh, it's cool. You know, tulips and roses are growing around them. That's not really what the mood is that I think of. So when I translate that from the Spanish humor and energy, now that could, some of you could use that. Humor and energy, light to improve. You know, I don't know. This is not an infomercial for these mood lights. But I'm wondering if we get into the presence of the light of lights. I'm just wondering in this season, maybe there's less light than there normally is. And I'm not fully convinced about this light. But the vitamin D messages that I see that I have on my docket, vitamin D messages, this is a vitamin D message in case you're wondering. This whole pupil is like dilated right now. I'm seeing two different things right now. Wow! Over here, you know. It doesn't warn you on the box. Dilates people. Don't walk around after looking at this light. Sorry, that was a squirrel moment. But the vitamin D message is take this in and be strengthened. Take this in and be energized. Take this in and be encouraged. Take this in and be healed. That's today's message. Okay, maybe next week be gas pedal again. Come on! Gas pedal! Maybe be orienteering and say, come on, you can do it. I know you can do it. Here's this tool, and here's this tool, and here's this tool. You can do it. You can walk this out in life. But today is just, I want you just to sit in the sun. I want you to absorb this message. It's just simply that. Just absorb it. To sit in the sun with the capital letter L, light. Sit in the sun. Jesus is the light. We see that Jesus shines on people in the Bible. Jesus turns His light on when He's around people in the Bible. Jesus, I don't know if He can shut His light off, but we can argue that theological implications of that later on. But He seems to shine on certain people at certain times. And we see Him shine. You can push the button. He shines on the thousands. We know that He fed the 5,000 and their family. We know He was shining on maybe 10 or 15,000 people. He was like, whoom! You know, He's shining on all these people at one time. And then we see Him, He shines on His disciples. He turns His light on. So to fill His disciples with this vitamin D that's going to encourage and strengthen and heal them. And He just wants them to absorb this. And Jesus shines on the religious leaders. We see that in the Scripture. But the majority of the time, over 40 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus shines on the individual person. It's a personal light. It's a personal light. 40 times. I found that very interesting. Just to be honest, I did not know that until this week. I had not looked into that to see that Jesus shone on people, individual people, over 40 times just in the Gospels. Of course, that's where we have His life recorded. Now, will He shine on the thousands? Certainly He will. Will He shine on the religious leaders? Certainly He will. Does He shine on the disciples? Certainly He does. But I think Jesus loves to shine on the individual. And He wants to shine on just you today. And He wants to do something. He wants you to absorb this healthy vitamin D from the capital L light of the world. He just wants you to absorb this and just be healed. Old wounds healed. How can they be healed? Just absorb the light. How can I be strong? To absorb the light. How can I be? How to absorb the light? Just sit in the light. The truth is that not all the thousands and not all the disciples and not all the religious leaders and not all the individuals absorbed the light. To be honest, I had that thing behind me for a day this week. I wear long sleeves all the time, no matter if it's July or January. And I'm sitting in my chair and that's on my back. And all of a sudden, I read the box, it's going to need to absorb through something other than your clothing. You got to roll up your sleeves. So I'm sitting over there with it on the side of my desk with one arm, one sleeve rolled up all week. I'm right. And so I got to ask us, do we want to be exposed to Jesus this morning? Are we going to put our hoodies on and put our hands in our pockets and put our hood up over our head and kind of put our head down and say, well, I've been to church. Yeah, but you didn't absorb any light. Will we open ourselves up? Will we expose ourselves to the light so that we can hear what Jesus wants to speak into us? Again, no gas pedal this morning. No orienteering this morning, just vitamin D. In one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and just because there's a difference in sitting here or sitting in the presence of the light. It's just different. Listen to Mark 5, 30 and 31. At once Jesus realized, and this is right in the middle of the woman who had a bleeding issue, right? And she was seeking healing from Jesus. Okay, this is just a snippet out of that story in the Bible. At once Jesus realized that power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" You see the people crowding against you, the disciples answered, and yet you ask, "Who touched you?" What, are you crazy, Jesus? You're in a crowd. There's lots of people touching you. And he said, no, there's a difference in bumping into me or touching me. There's been a lot of people bump into me, but only one touched me. And there's a shining here. I'm just being honest this morning. There's a shining here this morning. There's a shining here this morning. We've already had evidence of the shining here this morning. Will you roll up your sleeves so you can get more of it? Or are you just happy with just touching Jesus or bumping into Him? Or do you want to touch Him this morning? Do you want to hear what He's saying? Do you want the light to shine on you this morning so that this vitamin D message can do a difference in your life, can make a difference in your life? I almost had Cheryl make me a vest. I was going to inlay this thing in the vest. And I was just going to wear it. Yeah, I thought that same thing too. That was a good idea. I have a lot of ideas. Most of them aren't any good. But will you open up your heart? Will you open up your life? Will you open up? And I know I need to get going because now we're going to start the message.
Keep on preaching.
So here we go. Jesus, what is Jesus doing right now? What does He want us to absorb? What is He speaking to you? You're in a group, but you're here, just you and Jesus this morning. You are the one in the tanning booth. You are the one sitting in the sun. You are the one who needs the vitamin D. You are the one who needs to be strengthened. You are the one who needs to be healed.
Come on,
you are the one. So what's He saying to us this morning? What's He saying to you this morning? Perhaps He's saying this, and when Jesus saw her weeping, we know this is Mary at the death of Lazarus, and when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, look at what happens to Jesus. Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Whew. What does Jesus want to say to us this morning? That's where I'm going here. Because I want our souls to be absorbing the vitamin D from the light, capital L light, that He wants to speak into our lives this morning. So what is He saying this morning? And Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid Him?" And Jesus asked, "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And verse 35 says, Jesus wept. So what is Jesus saying to you this morning? Just chill for a minute. What is Jesus saying to you this morning? And I think He's saying this to some of us, and maybe all of us this morning. Maybe He's saying this, push the button, "I'm here. I'm here." I feel your pain. I feel your grief. I will move closer to your hurt. I'm not asking you to come close to me. I will move toward your hurt. Your tears move me. Is that what He's saying? just to be, I got to be completely honest, I'm more of a gas pedal guy. But today I need to be a vitamin D guy. And what is he saying? You matter. Do you hear that? Do you hear him saying that to you? Do you think his, where do you think his eyes went to Mary when Mary was weeping and he was moved by one person's tears? And he wept with that person. I see your broken heart. I see it, Jesus says. I see that today. I'm seeing it right now. And he goes on to say this. Push the button, please. I know that your mom has passed. I know that your child is sick. What's he saying today? What's he saying today that you need to know that Jesus knows these things and he's speaking to you because he wants to shine on you, because he wants to bring energy and light to you. He wants to heal you from the inside out. And you don't need a gas pedal message today. And you don't need an orienteering message today. You need a vitamin D message today. I know your loved one is caught in addiction. I know your business is in trouble. I know your marriage is on the rocks. I'm here now weeping with you. And he weeps with us. I know this is going on. I know what's happening in your life. I see the grief. I see the pain that is springing into your life. Let me just shine on you. Just you and me, and just weep together.
Come on now.
Just weep here together. So that I can bring the vitamin D and strengthen you. It's hard to live in this world. But let me strengthen you. That's the one of the individuals that Jesus spoke to, that he shone on. Should I say shone or shined? No English students here, so I don't know. He turned on the lights. on Mary. You know, when kids would come to camp and go, hey, you get 100 points for every verse you learn. You know what the first verse was? John 11:35. Jesus wept. 100 points. But wow. He's saying that to you. I know your pain. I know your confusion. I know your hurt. I'm weeping with you. Another individual that he spoke with is this. Push the button, please. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And he continues in verse 16 with this. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Verse 17 says this. The third time Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. And we know that that's immediately following the resurrection of Jesus after Peter had denied him three times. I wonder if Jesus is saying this to some of us today. He's come to you right now, and he's got the lights on right now, and he's saying this, I know you dropped the ball. I know you did. I know you denied me. I'm not asking for the reasons why. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, if that was like a state cop or a game commission, you know, in theory, I've never been asked by those two entities, but if there was... Why were you here? Why are you doing this? Why? Jesus never asked why. I know you dropped the ball, Peter. I want you to know that I know that you dropped the ball. And so he asked him three times. I know you denied me. I'm not here to ask the reasons why. I'm here just to hear that you love me. Do you love me? Is Jesus saying that into your heart? Just listen, listen, listen. You fall and you fail. Okay. Okay. Will you just shut up? Do you love me? The conversation goes on. Past failures do not keep you from present potential. Isn't that beautiful? Well, I failed. I dropped the ball. I failed. I failed last year. I failed last week. You know what? Jesus says, you know what? Okay, but do you love me? I'm not asking, can you get it all right? I'm not asking, have you ever got it all right? I'm not asking if you can walk on water. I'm not asking that right now. All I'm asking is if you love me. I know that you dropped the ball. I know that you failed. But I know, I want you to know this morning that past failures do not keep you from present potential. You have failed and still be engaged in my kingdom work. The question is, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I brought like 100-foot cord because I was going to drag this thing like Bob Barker with his, you know, this. See the challenge with this light is? It says you need to sit in this light for 30 minutes at a distance of closer than 24 inches. I said, dude, I'm going to have to hook that thing to me. Get close. Spend some time with Jesus. It makes so much sense with the light. Why wouldn't it make sense with Jesus? I said, I know you failed, but let's just talk about how you love me right now. And this is another person. You can push the button. Here's another person. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. This is the Samaritan woman. It was about the sixth hour or noon. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? And Jesus is about ready to shine on the Samaritan woman like she's never been shined on before. And he has moved. I'm wondering if Jesus is saying this to some of us today. I'm here in the heat of your day. Just so you know, you don't go get water at noon in the Middle East. Because it's hotter, as we say in Tioga County, it's hotter than blue blazes. I'm not sure what that is, but that is hot. It's hot. And Jesus says, I am here in the heat of your day. I did not expect you to show up because I am showing up. Isn't that beautiful? I read it to myself, and then I wrote it in my thinking book, and then I read it again to myself, and I said, wow, I always think I got to show up for Jesus. And Jesus said, the Samaritan woman didn't show up. I showed up. I did not expect you to show up because I will show up. I know that you have been used and abused. I know that you have looked for love in all the wrong places. I know you have learned how just to get along. I know you are accustomed to not being seen or accepted. Is that you this morning? I know who you are. I still love you. I have a gift for you. I just got to be honest. Did you ever hear Jesus just say to you, I got a gift for you? And maybe he's saying that to you right now. Maybe this son, needs to shine on you. And you just need to hear Jesus say, I got a gift for you. Put it back, please. I know you may be thinking you don't deserve it. That's why it's a gift. You know, my grandparents would buy me something, or my mom or dad would buy me something. It wasn't because I deserved it, it was because they loved me and they wanted to give me a gift. You didn't deserve it. Don't worry about not deserving it. Don't worry about not deserving it. Jesus is showing up in your hottest part of your life, in the hottest part of your day. He said, I got something for you. You better turn the other way. I'm going to tan this one side of your face. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished. This is another guy that Jesus shone on or shined on or turned his lights in the presence of, whatever I'm supposed to say there. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Maybe God's saying that. Maybe Jesus is saying that to you today. Maybe he's saying this. Push the button. Maybe he's saying this. I see the steps you're taking. I see it. I see it. I see the sacrifices you are making. You may think no one else notices. I notice. I want you to know I notice. I notice that. See, sometimes I think that we feel, I'm unappreciated. I don't know. Jesus says, wait, let me shine on you and say, no, I saw that. Your faith is amazing. See, I want to think that Jesus is always telling me, man, get off the brake, dude, because I'm a gas pedal guy. And Jesus says, you know what? I just want you to hear sometimes, your faith is amazing. Do you know that step you took? I saw that. That's amazing. Moving from California, he saw that. He said, wow. Do you ever think Jesus says, wow? See, I always think Jesus says, my, oh, what in the world's going on in his life? I rarely think that Jesus says to me, wow. You're amazing. Your faith is amazing. Here is a boy with five loaves of barley, small barley loaves, and two small fish. But how far can they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. Jesus said, there was plenty of grass in that place. And the men sat down, and about 5,000 of them. And Jesus took the loaves, and he gave thanks, and he distributed it to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with the fish. But you know what? And then we pick up this story in the feeding of the 5,000. We talk about the disciples, and we talk about Jesus, and we talk about how many baskets were left over, and we talk about all those miraculous moments. We never talk about the little kid. In that moment, Jesus... I don't think they mugged the little kid, okay? I don't think they threw him in the ditch and took his lunch. I think that he came and Jesus went boom, and he shined on the little kid. And I'm wondering if Jesus is saying this. I know you think that what you have is not enough. You're right. Check, you got it right. Just offer what you have and partner with me and watch. Watch what I can do. Well, I don't have anything. All I got is 10 bucks and 5 bucks and all I have is this and I have the clothes on my back and I have this. And Jesus says, "What? Cool. Well, I can't do anything with any of that stuff." He says, "No, I know you can't, but I can. Why don't you just partner with me?" Jesus looked at him and loved him. Just so you know, this is the rich young ruler that denied Jesus or just rejected Jesus' plea in his life. You ever see that? I read by that sometimes so fast I don't even see it. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. You know what that means? He turned on the vitamin D light. Now the guy who had a hoodie on, the guy covered up his head, the guy put his hands in his pocket. He wasn't absorbing the light that Jesus was putting on him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Jesus said, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. That's almost like an orienteering message, isn't it? I wonder if he's saying this to some of us today. I know you have some stuff that you're trusting more than me. I know, I want you to know you can trust me. I know you do not know how to let it go. I think that you don't even know if you think you can let it go. But you can. I don't know if I can get rid of this addiction. I don't know if I can get rid of this situation. I don't know if I can get rid of this temperament. I don't know if I can get rid of this stuff. Jesus, you can. Just trust me. You can get rid of it. Let me finish with this one. I thought about doing all 40.
Come on now.
Come on, keep up. Here we go. Hey, you're saying like sick of to a dog. You guys got to behave yourself. Here we go. And once when Jesus, we're going to have security take you out of here. Once, if we had security. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, Jesus asked them, who do the crowd say I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah. Basically, they're all guessing, and still others saying maybe another prophet of long ago that has come back to life. Frankly, we don't have any idea. But what about you, Jesus asked? What about you? Who do you say I am? See, I think when the light is on, I think the main question is, who do you say I am? Is he saying that to you right now? Who do you say I am? And Peter answers, the Christ of God. It means the anointed one, the one that's bringing heaven to earth. It is just you and me here, I think Jesus is saying. Who do you say I am? I wonder if he's saying this. Push the button, please. Do you believe that when you fall, I will lift you? Do you believe I can lift you? Or do you have kind of limitations on me? Do you believe that I can lift you? When you fall, I can lift you. Do you believe that when you fail, I'll forgive? Do you think I'm the forgiver? Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you are weak, I will strengthen you? Do you believe that when you are lost, I will lead? Do you believe that when you are anxious about Wyatt, right? I will calm you. Do you believe that when you stumble, I will steady you? Do you believe that when you are hurt, I will heal? Do you believe that when you are broken, I will mend you? Do you believe that when you are hungry, I will feed? Do you believe that when you are suffocating, I will revive you? And do you believe that when you are in need, I will provide? Who do you say I am? I am here. I love you. Take in this truth. Be strengthened. Be energized. Be encouraged. Be healed. Take in the vitamin D. Get close. Spend some time. Listen. He loves you. God, you are an amazing God. God, thank you for gas pedal messages. I need those too. Thank you for orienteering messages. Because sometimes I need to take new steps I don't know how to do. And thank you for these vitamin D messages. Now you just want me to hear and absorb this into my life, into my soul. 40 times, over 40 times, recorded 40 times in the gospel. You brought the light to one person, one single individual. Whether it was this woman at the well, whether it was Nicodemus, whether it was Peter, whether it was Philip, whether it was the guy on the cross next to you. And Father, I don't think that you've stopped bringing the light on individual people. So shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. And Father, help us to absorb the light and absorb the vitamin D that Jesus wants to pour into us. And Father, I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.